if it hadn't been for the love of, you know, for the love of Jesus and him drawing me back. So that's my testimony. Started out as sort of a, you know, foolish person, not sure I was saved, got saved finally, and, you know, here I am today. So we need to take station ID. We're going to come back then and talk about our prayer ministry, and then we'll continue on with testimonies. Well, we are back for the second hour of Living the Good Life, radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm joined today. I'm Pastor Jim. Pastor Marsh is on vacation. And I'm joined in the studio by Nan Watson. I am joined by phone by the lovely Cindy Logan from Indiana, who's part of our radio team. I want to take a minute to talk about our prayer ministry, and we definitely believe in prayer. We believe that God answers prayer. We have seen God answer prayer, and we have a ministry built up around that. Myself and Betty, we do the prayer requests when they come in, and we do encourage you, no matter how big, no matter how small, we ask you to send us your prayer request. We take the prayer request. We attach a prayer to it because we believe in, everybody needs to be on the same page. We believe in unity when we pray. We send it out to our prayer team. Everybody prays, and we have seen some incredibly good, big answers to our prayers. And the only thing that we ask in return is that when God answers your prayer, let us know. Because I do keep record of those, and I'm my little subfolder in my email, it just keeps growing, which is a wonderful thing, because we can look back and say, look, God did this. God did this big thing. God did this small thing. And God, we just love that. So please send your prayer requests to prayers, PRAYERS, at BOHMglobal.com. And again, any requests, large, small, we'll pray. We pray for them all. And again, just let us know when God answers your prayer, because we love to hear about answered prayer. So the next song we're going to do is actually a new one by Zach Williams. It's called Fear is a Liar. And I think it fits in good with the hope, because one of the things that destroys our hope is fear.
When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Take your a liar. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love's all I fear. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love's all I fear. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love's all I fear. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love's all I fear.
Amen. Amen. That's so, well, that's just true. And fear can keep us from doing so much and can rob us of so much. And Nan, you have something for us.
I do. Fear is a liar to you. Please, of this you can see. You don't need to listen to that. Of its binds you can be free. Reflect upon whose you are. You belong to me, little one. This is so because of the sacrifice of my precious, loving son. Keep focused upon me. Fear is a liar to you. Resist it this very hour of its grip. Peace through.
Amen. Amen. And it's true. Fear can stop us from doing so much. We need to be... We need to be conscious of when fear is trying to rob us of our hope. I love some of the words in that song, you know, because fear, and who's behind fear? Well, of course, the devil will tell you you're not good enough, you're beyond the reach of God's grace, and, you know, you're not going to be able to change, and God's not going to accept you. And don't believe that, because grace... And God's power are infinite. Your fear is not, and certainly the lies of the devil are not. So God wants us to be in relationship with him. He wants us to know him. And Cindy, you had mentioned before you kind of knew this all along, but you said there have been some kind of bumps in the road, I think. And I wondered if you'd be willing to share some of that with us.
Well, yeah, so you want me to go ahead and get my testimony?
Absolutely.
Okay, so as a small child, I had to deal with many types of abuse. I was born into my mother with a father who didn't want to accept the responsibility of fatherhood at such a young age. So I was a stepchild, let's just say.
Hmm.
Growing up, I was always reminded that I was no good, not loved, called names. Back in the 50s, you know, illegitimate children weren't, it wasn't a very accepted subject as it is today. I felt worthless. I was belittled. I was sexually abused. I was physically abused. I was tormented. I asked God, why me? This innocent child, am I having to go through all these trials already? Why am I suffering? Why is this happening when my friends all around me don't live this way? But fortunately enough, the Lord put, people in my past from small child on up as friends or adults, teachers maybe. One of my best friends in sixth grade was a pastor's daughter, and we moved around a lot, so I made a lot of friends. But God made a way so that I attracted people. There was something about me that was different, and I made friends easily. And I was friends with influential children in school, parents, you know, that come from money, and pastors and families where I would go spend the night, and I'd look at the way of life and say, wow, is this possible? You know, do people really live this way? This is the good life. You know, what is different? But most of those I realize now were Christian homes. And I always went to Sunday school, and I always went to Bible school every summer. I looked forward to that. But I was always taught about Jesus and the cross and the story from a very young age. So in my trenches as a child, I would cry out to Jesus. Mm. And I knew enough to say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, be there. Jesus, what's going on? He was always my friend, I guess you'd say, because, like, sometimes you're so lonely in those circumstances. Well, as a result of all that junk, I got into drugs at a really young age. Escape. Tried suicide 3 times as a teenager. Just didn't want to live. If I had to live this life of hell as this young woman, good Lord, what does my adult life hold in store? You know, what have I got to look forward to?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that hope of, you know, Jesus, that's the bottom line is, like I said, it was a living thing that I knew Jesus had been there. He brought me this far, and he wasn't going to let me die, obviously. I had a conversation with a mental health therapist. I was about 21 years old, and I had tried to commit suicide, and my girlfriend found me on an overdose of pills. They said I was lucky to be alive. Now, what are we going to do with the rest of this life because, you know, you're given another chance? Well, I didn't know. I just didn't know. At that time, I was in an abusive marriage, which is, you know, my testimony is so filled with abuse and addictions and all these things that people have to deal with. They're real things, you know, but I came through it. I'm here to say God intervened every time something went down, even if it was my stupid mess up. He fixed it, and he put the right people there to continue to lead me on. So. Mm-hmm. You know, anyway, I off and on, I ran from God. I knew he was there, but I was like, no, you know, I'm not ready to commit. I had grown up in Baptist, Methodist, structured environments of religion where I felt like I was living in too much sin. I wasn't good enough. I had to clean up my act. No one had told me God will take you just the way you are, you know, and just come to the altar. I went to the altar a bunch of times, like you did, Pastor, all through life.
Oh, yeah.
And every time was the hope of, God, I hope I'm safe. I hope I'm good enough. I hope, you know, today that you wipe it all out. I had to keep asking because every time in between, I knew I was messing up. And I just really didn't want to commit. I met a pastor in 2005, and I was in the trenches of cocaine addiction. And so was my husband, and it was affecting everything in our life, our finances, our children. Our children were becoming addicts. The cycle was repeating itself in their lives. You know, I had the responsibility of raising grandchildren because the parents had been taken out of the home with charges. So now I'm dealing with another generation of this whole mess, and I'm not even right myself yet. So at that time, I started going to a little church over in Richmond. I chose to go to church. I need something. I need God. I need him to help me. I'm losing the battle, you know, and I really was. Some tragic things had happened in the relationship. It was starting to become violent. This pastor told me, he said, Cindy, he said, get your husband to church. And I said, there's just no way. And I kind of told him what we were dealing with. And he said, I don't care if he rides his Harley Davidson up the front steps and through my front door to the altar. Time to spring it on. Just come on. And I thought, wow, you know, this pastor understands. He was a reformer, a reforming addict. You know, he was mm-hmm. a pastor. He lived the life. He understood. And I said, finally, God put someone in my path that understands. Pastor Marcia, she understood my circumstances. In 1985, I went to her for counseling. She understood. And she put me on a path of hope that said, there's a better way. You can do this. You can beat this. God can help you. And I believed her. And that's where our friendship developed. And all these years later, it was her, my other pastor friend, and then that just gave me that leap of hope that you can beat all these odds. You know, you can beat the addiction. You can beat the financial circumstances. Pastor, I'm very unique. I've changed my career and life 30 times, I would say. I've lived in, you know, 6 or 7 different states. I'm one of these people always looking for the better way,
right?
A better job, a better home, a better environment, a nicer climate. Things have got to get better, so I was trying to fix everything along the way by making these choices in my life. Until I found out, I'm back home now. I'm in my hometown. God brought me around full circle and put me back here with my family and said, you know, you can have happiness. I have learned and lived. You can have happiness. You can find peace. You can find joy. You can be with your loved ones. You can send prayers in to the Beacon of Hope prayer line, and God will answer them. You don't even have to do that. You can pray to him yourself. But he continues to live and answer prayers. But that day I walked in the church, as you mentioned earlier, in 2014, I had ran once again, the final time I had ran from God and said, this is not what I want in my life. This is not how I want to live. I don't like it. I don't like my circumstances. I don't like my family right now. I don't like anything. So I'm going to Florida, and I'm going to sit on the beach, and I'm just going to let you figure it out because I'm done. You know, I'm done. It's basically what's, you know, I was at that turning point where God had to seal the deal with me. What is your purpose for my life? I've tried to find it all these years. There is a purpose for the reason behind all this tragedy, all these trials, all this junk. It has prepared me for something. Now, God, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that weekend that he put me on the radio for the first time, and I received the love from my church family and my other friends that had come to see there. And just coming back home has not been something that I just jump right back into and say, hey, okay, God fixed everything. It has been a process of getting back in relationship with my family, getting connected with my kids, my grandchildren. I mean, just getting myself to a place where I can say, God, I give you the reins. I give you the reins.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in control, and I know you got this, and you have proven it so many times that you're in control, that I'm not even going to question anymore why you're doing something or where you put me.
Right.
And, you know, I just told someone the other day, in fact, it's probably one of my kids, just do what you can with today, wherever God puts you.
Amen.
Know? Wherever you're at today, just use that to do what the best you can.
Because
that's where you're at today. You know, that we try to think so much about the future and what's ahead. And, you know, I right now am certain that I'm saved. I'm certain I'm forgiven. I'm certain wherever the Lord takes me in the years to come, I just feel so blessed to have lived through everything that I have and to have witnessed so much that God has done over the years and in these relationships. And the coolest thing right now I'm seeing is 35, 30, 40-year relationships and families, sisters we didn't know we had, families out there that we're related to that are just coming to fruit. I mean, this is happening in a lot of people's lives in my own family, and it's just reconnections, and it just proves that God's timing is not our timing. And man, wait on that thing. Don't give up. Have that faith that it's going to come to pass. If he promised it, if he said it, he's going to make it happen. And I'm telling you, it's years. I mean, who would expect something that you prayed about or wanted to come to pass and forgot all about coming to pass 35 years later?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just God. No, that just doesn't happen in the natural realm.
So, amen.
That's all I have. I just want to say today that I have rooted and grounded in the message and in the word, and without my church family for support and an outreach to ministry and prayer and knowing, you know, that God can use me to hopefully affect the others around me and assure their salvation too. And I'm blessed to be on the radio where I can share that message, and when I reach out, we give that salvation prayer. I thank Jesus that I can be a part of that because, you know, I just, I want to be useful. He's been so good to me. It's just about me giving back now as much as I can, whatever he puts on me to do.
Amen. Thank you, Cindy.
I stopped really looking for that purpose, Pastor. You know, yeah, it's not that big thing. You know, it's not that, oh, I'm going to be a pastor or I'm going to be a teacher. It's not even that. It's just that, wow, I've come to realize I'm unique in myself. He's
right.
Using me in his own way for whatever he has for me to reach, whether it's on the radio or just in my job or wherever. I can be used right now, and I stop looking for that big purpose, and I realize it's right here. It's right in front of us.
Exactly. Each of us are called, if we are believers, we're called to share our life in Jesus. And not all of us, I mean, obviously, not all of us are going to be pastors or teachers or, you know, evangelists or whatever, but we're called to share our lives and the gifts that God has given us in the way he wants us to. Excuse me. You know, I thought for a while, I mean, I knew I had a pastoral calling on my life, and due to some circumstances, and I also had, it was prophesied over me, oddly enough, that I would be leading praise and worship. Now, okay, a lot of circumstances happened, and I was convinced that was never going to come to pass. And yet,
it came to pass.
It came to pass. I pastored a church for a while, and in Chicago, and it kind of soured me on ever pastoring again. And I got to share this before we have our next song, but I have to share this. There were some situations with a female elder, and, you know, there was just a lot of conflict between she and I. And so I was really, like, turned off on this whole women in leadership thing. So we moved down here in 2008, and I'm looking for a church to go to. I want to go to a Bible-believing, charismatic church, so I found Beacon of Hope. And lo and behold, A, they had a female pastor. So, you know, that's kind of God sitting up there going, ha, 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 ha. You know, and then B, I became the associate pastor. And I was just done with it. Pastor Marshall will tell you, we've talked about this. I was just done with it. I was so over being a pastor. I didn't want to do it. And yet God said, no, that's my thing. Nan's thing is kind of doing poetry at the moment. And, you know, even if it's just sharing the life God's given you by smiling at somebody, you know, that's important. We do what God gives us to do, where he calls us to do it, no matter what it is, because me being a pastor is no more important than somebody's just sharing God's love by smiling as someone on the street. That's no more important. So I want to play this next song. It's When Mercy Found Me by the Rhett Walker Band. Really good song, and we'll use it, as I believe, as a lead into a little bit of Nan's testimony. I can hardly wait.
My Savior's arms around. seem to matter now. His grace is all I need. Oh, His grace is all I need. And the chains that I was in before, well, they don't hold me anymore. His love has rescued me.
To share.
When mercy found me, I was such a mess. Jesus reached out to me with love, and of my sins I confessed. I'm living a great life now because of the sacrifice of Jesus. I believe upon Him with all my heart. Of that I can truly confess. You too can be found by mercy. Turn your life over to Him. You'll find Him to be your best friend, and upon Him you can depend.
Great. Thank you, Nan. So is that kind of your testimony? How did you come to know Jesus?
Well, I was raised in a Christian home. We were there for church Sunday morning, Sunday night, youth group night. We kind of missed Wednesday night because we lived 20 miles away from the church. And you know, we had to get in bed for school, so they couldn't go on Wednesday nights. So as it, you know, you're talking about every summer camp, how you got saved again. Well, my childhood Bible got damaged in a flood that happened in the house. But in the front part of that, I put a date, 1978-1976, saved, and then really saved, and you know, saved. And I had
saved again.
You know, all of that I had in that Bible. And because it was like, well, I messed up, so I got to be saved again, you know. So I didn't have a really good understanding of what all that meant. But so I got married, and it was not a good relationship. We went to church, and we were the type that, you know, you go to church and everything looked fine. You got your suit on, you're all dressed up, you go there, you smile, you shake hands, you hug necks, you do all that kind of stuff. Then you go home and the real stuff happens. And that was happened with us. So we got divorced. And I won't go into the whole story, but I felt he wanted to get remarried, and I thought that I could only marry him, so I married him. Then we had a child by the second marriage. And y'all was sitting there thinking earlier, one of the things probably of everything that I've regretted, the most difficult thing that I regretted was that, I mean, I'm happy to be divorced away from him because of the way the circumstances in the relationship was. It was kind of like an abusive thing. But we were youth leaders, and we ministered to not just all the church kids, but the neighborhood kids. And, you know, a lot of them looked at us as like parent figures because they didn't have that in their lives. They didn't have loving parents in their lives. And we loved on the kids, and they loved us. And it was very difficult to have to make the announcement that we were going to be getting a divorce. The kids were devastated. The youth group broke up after that because no one stepped up to the plate to take over that. And one girl in particular, I always remember, she just cried and cried and cried and cried and cried, you know. So that was difficult. But so then, let's see, I went from there then, went through a lot of legal stuff with my ex-husband. And so I was going to church in charge. I was in charge of a lot of things. I was, you know, a leader and various things. At different times, I'd be responsible for whatever they needed. I'd fill the positions. And then something really bad happened there that I don't expound on, but it was really, 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 really bad. And I left the church. And I didn't go to church for a while because of what had happened. It's like, God, how could you allow this to happen? And I really questioned God. Why? You know, it was just very confusing for me at that time. So I just quit going to church because, well, God let this happen. That's not right. So then we went to a church that it was kind of cool. It was an opportunity for me to heal. And there were some, I was in a great Sunday school class and small group stuff and all that kind of stuff. And it was just really great. And it was a time for me to heal. And then we started going to another church, and then they disbanded. And at that point, then I didn't go to church for 7 years. I think it was 7 years, a long time I didn't go to church. So I heard about Beacon through acquaintance, and a pastor shared a couple weeks ago how I walked in on a Wednesday night. You remember that? And I went outside and I said to God, God, I'm going to attend 7 services, 7 weeks. And if I don't feel like this is where you want me to be, then I'll go somewhere else. Well, by about the third time, he told me, this is it. This is where I want you. But I still was waiting for my 7 till I would actually say, yes, I'm going to be going there. And that was back in 2017. And much healing continued to occur through the love of Beacon, you know, and just loving on me, just, you know, to see that, you know, Pastor Marcia and you are great leaders, and you're loving and caring for the sheep, you know, and I needed that. I needed to have that. And so that's what I mean by healing, was being able to say, I can trust. That was a big trust thing. I will never I told myself, I will never trust another preacher in all my life, ever. And then you guys came along, or I came along to you guys. And, you know, it's, and I've had a lot of spiritual growth, during this time, wise counsel and support. And so that's how it brings me to Beacon. And I've been here, well, let's see, 2010, actually. It was 2010.
Why I gave you that funny look when you said 2017. It's like, huh?
Oh, I said 2017. I didn't make a mistake. Nope, 2010. So.
Oh, yeah, I thought you left and came back or something. I was there in 14, and I thought everything was okay.
I remember meeting you, Cindy.
Yeah. I will never forget our meeting, man, how gracious you were in comforting me and sending me on my way with my little care package.
Oh, you're welcome.
which still are very much a part of my daily life, you must know. Yeah.
Well, praise God.
Praise God.
They sure are. I use the devotional daily and my little journal, and yeah, it's all good.
Good deal.
That was the impact, I think, the sealing the deal of my commitment with the Lord was during that time, that retreat, to answer my prayer of, you know, what's the rest of it about, Lord? You know, where do we go from here?
And, right. Well, and,
yeah, that was it. That was the beginning.
And I saw something on Facebook that I can actually share on the radio. That, you know, sometimes we're the only Bible people are going to read. And, you know, sometimes I think God allows us to mess up. I mean, because we do that well enough on our own. We don't need God's help to mess up. But he allows those things to happen so that we can learn, so that we can share with people who've gone through similar struggles. I mean, we're all different. We've all had periods where we weren't in church, but like my struggles were like not so much like with abuse, like you, Cindy, and Nan. Mine was like, you know, intellectual. I had to get over my intellectual thing, thinking I knew it all. And, you know, God's put people in my path that remind me a lot of me, you know, putting up all these intellectual arguments, you know, against God and against the Bible, against the Word. But I'm able to do that because that's what I've been through. And, you know, Cindy, you're able to, and Nan both, because of your life experiences, you're able to minister to people who are in those same positions. And that's what's so wonderful about God. And for our listeners, you may be saying, this is kind of a different kind of show because we don't really share a lot of our testimonies a lot of the time. But if there's anyone out there, you know, you may be thinking to yourself, wow, you know, Cindy or Pastor Jim or Nan, they sound a lot like me. And you can see what God has done for us. I mean, God took us, each one of us, as messed up as we were. And, you know, I just want to share about Nan a little bit. She had her Jonah period.
Oh, yes.
Where, you know, she tried to run, but God said, I'm going to put you in the belly of the whale.
Everywhere I ran, he was there. I did try to run, though. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I know. I was there for that. But again, you know, we have testimonies. And if there's any of our listeners, maybe, you know, maybe you've heard something today that really clicked. And you're thinking, well, you know, that sounds a lot like me. Maybe I need to try this again. And I would just encourage you, you know, contact us, you know, do it through the prayers at bohmglobal.com. You can email me directly, Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. I would love to answer your questions.
I'd like to interject here, if I may. I, at times, email Pastor Jim if I want a scripture about something, and he's always good at emailing me back with just what I needed, I was looking for. So he definitely will do that, and we'll get back. As soon as he reads it, he'll get back with you.
And see, I praise God for that, because God has used that in a number of times with a number of people. And, you know, each one of us, we're unique. And you may think, well, God can't use me. I've screwed up too badly. I'm here to tell you, I know how badly I screwed up. And, you know, I don't know Nan, how badly she screwed up, or Cindy, how badly she screwed up. But I can speak for myself and say, I really messed up. I literally walked away from God because I was told that he would do something for me, which I found out later I didn't really need him to do. But I was so angry because it cost me so much that I walked away from God, and I was done with it. Enough, done with it, never going back. And you can see how well that worked out for me, because here I am on the radio talking about the Lord and Jesus and his resurrection. But it doesn't matter. Like the song we heard earlier from Zach Williams, don't listen to fear. Fear is a liar. Fear is going to tell you you're beyond God's grace, mm-hmm. that God can't use you. And I was always told, you know, listen, if you're worried about it, then you haven't gone far enough yet. So come back to Jesus, you know, mm-hmm. come back to Jesus. This whole, you know, talking about heaven, we have that hope of heaven. We have that hope that one day this is all going to be done. All these trials we sang this morning, I'll fly away. One of the lines is, you know, just a few more weary days mm-hmm. and then. And yeah, I don't particularly see my days as weary. I'm excited. But, yeah, sometimes it's a struggle. We long to go home, to be with Jesus. And one of these days we are going to fly away. We're going to be with Jesus. But only if we receive him in this life. So I just want to encourage our listeners, if you don't know him, then listen for his voice. Because you probably have, you may not know it, but you probably have somebody praying for you right now. I know I must have. I don't know who it was, but somebody was obviously praying for me. Because when I, you know, when I tried to walk away, I couldn't do it. I mean, I did for a while, but I couldn't stay away. I couldn't stay away. And it's funny, I got rid of everything but my old New American Standard Bible. I kept that Bible. I could not, I literally physically could not throw it away. God would not let me do that. And so I kept it. I still have it. It's been with me since probably 1978. And God wouldn't let me throw it away because that's how he says, look, I'm faithful. I'm faithful. I will do this for you. The whole point is to know Jesus. Maybe you're scared of dying. Maybe there's somebody out there who's scared. You may have been told you have a terminal illness and you don't know what you're going to do. Jesus. Jesus has already got a place for you in heaven, reserved for with your name on it. And, you know, we don't know. We just don't know how much time we have. Something could happen where we go home, you know, we pass on tomorrow or today. I just want to make sure that I give every listener the opportunity to make sure you know where you're going to go. That if you passed, if you died, you'd be with Jesus. So I want to play this next song, There is a Redeemer by Keith Green. Then after, when it's over, I want to pray with everyone.
Done, and leaving your spirit.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son.
Okay.
And it's so important that we know Him. It's so important that we come to Him.
Oh, wow.
What's up, Cindy? It is so important.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That we come to know Him, that we have a relationship with Him, because getting saved is not just fire insurance. You know, some people, I think, get saved just because they don't want to go to hell. And that's a good reason. Let me tell you, that's a pretty good reason. But there's so much more to knowing Jesus. And that's, you know, we have a relationship then with our Creator, the God who created us. We have a personal relationship with Him. You know, we can talk with Him. He talks to me. Not that I hear His, you know, I'm not like, don't hear His voice, but I read the Word, and He speaks to me through that. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to know Him, and that's what He wants. The hope of heaven is just the beginning. You know, we're talking about heaven, and I can't wait. There's another Keith Green song. Maybe I'll play that next time I'm on. I can't wait to get to heaven. There's a great line in there. You know, in 6 days you created everything, but you've been working on heaven 2,000 years. And that's true. And I want, you know, I want that final kind of consummation of my relationship with Jesus. But that doesn't mean I'm not thinking about down here too. So it's just so important that we come to know Him. And you know, we've all sinned. Everyone, I mean, Cindy and Nan and I have all talked about that, how we messed up. We've done things that obviously were not pleasing to God, that we knew were wrong, that we knew were sinful. And yet, and no matter what we tried, you know, I tried going to church. I tried doing good things, you know. And that's not it, because there's nothing we can do to make ourselves right with God. Nothing. I can't do enough good works to erase any one of my sins. And the great news about that is I don't have to. Because what Jesus did, we know we celebrated Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday a few weeks back. Because of what Jesus did by going to the cross, taking my sins, and not just my sins, but my physical hurts, my emotional hurts, all of that, He took to the cross for you, dear listener. And 3 days later, He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead in victory. He took the keys of hell and death away from the enemy, from Satan. He rose victorious. So not only can we be saved, we can have victory over everything that we inherited from Adam. We can have victory over sickness, sin, death, defeat. All of that is provided for us if we would only trust Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's all we need to do. So I want to take a moment here just to remind everyone, all it takes is asking Him in. Yes, it does take surrender and saying, Jesus, I need You to take over, because He needs to be Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. So if you would, please just pray with me. Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have sinned against You, against others, and against myself. I ask You, Lord Jesus, to forgive me for my sins. I believe that your blood has cleansed me from every sin. I believe that God raised you from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that you are my Messiah, my Savior, and my Lord. Jesus, I give you control of my life. I ask you, Lord, to take over now. Come live inside of me by the power of your Holy Spirit. Guide and direct me always. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Now, there's a couple of things. If you prayed that prayer, that I'd like for you to do. First of all, let us know. I would love to correspond with you, to talk to you about this, because this is obviously the biggest decision that you've ever made. But there's a couple of other things you can do that I highly recommend. One is pray. Talk to God. That's all prayer is. It doesn't have to be flowery. Doesn't have to be in King James English. I know that offends Nan, because she loves King James. But it doesn't have to be. You just talk to God like I would sit here and talk to Nan. You know, read through the Psalms. Get into the Word and read through the Psalms and see how David talked to God. Some of that's pretty shocking. I mean, he just laid it all out, to God and just said, look, this is all the stuff that's going on. I need your help. And God's there to listen. And getting to the Word, a good place to start besides the Psalms would be the Gospel of John. It's very short, 21 chapters. You can read it in 3 weeks if you read a chapter a day. And then find a church. Find a church that will strengthen your walk with Jesus. If you maybe want suggestions, again, email me. I'm ready to help. So, any final thoughts, Cindy, on everything we've talked about today?
Well, I just think I should tell everyone, all the listeners, like you said, if you received Jesus today and did the salvation prayer along with us, let us know and reach out. And anyone that wants to get in contact with me regarding my testimony or anything that you can relate to that I might have been helpful or can help you in any way, just let the ministry know, and I'll be glad to send you my personal email.
Amen. We'll definitely forward it to you.
Definitely be more than happy to help any listeners. And like you said, like Nan said earlier, when there's questions, I trust my church family. I have no doubt that if I have a question about the history of the Bible or any of the scriptures, that I can depend on Pastor Jim or Pastor Marcia to find the answer or know the answer. Very trustworthy team of Bible scholars, I feel, in our ministry. So very confident that we can help you with anything that you come across in this walk. So,
amen.
We're there for you.
Yeah, and we want to. I mean, that's the important thing, is we want to be a help. Because, Nan and I both made the comment, we got saved over, quote unquote, saved over and over again, because there was nobody there for follow-up, to help us to understand what we had done and what we needed to do next.
Right.
So, yeah, that's really important. And that and fellowship are really, really important. So, Nan, some final thoughts?
Well, I would just encourage those who accepted Christ, even those who didn't, to find a full gospel church, get involved, get plugged in. Salvation is the best gift that you can ever have, and that's what salvation is a gift. We have to accept it, though. Mm-hmm. And there may be people listening now who didn't pray that prayer with you. They can pray it now, and Jesus will come in their life. And I just encourage them to get into a good church. Email you if they have questions, Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. Again, Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. and you will answer any questions they have or provide them any scripture they need. And, you know, I just encourage them to use. There's resources available through this ministry.
Amen.
We don't just get on here, you know, three of us talk for 2 hours and walk off and that's it. This is ministry, and there is ministry, and we're here for the people.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, like we talked before, we are a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. We know God. We know God works. We know God moves. And just encourage you, if you are in this area, maybe visiting down in St. Pete, Clearwater area, Pasco County, even Polk County, why not? You know, if you happen to be in the Tampa Bay area, come and visit us on a Sunday morning. We would love to have you worship with us. We trust God that He is moving in our lives and hopefully moving in your life as well. You know, there's no greater adventure, I believe, than living the Christian life, than walking with Jesus. And there are times I would not have said that. You know, there are times I just would not have said that. But, you know, I would never give it up now. What's that old Southern gospel song, Nan? Wouldn't trade nothing for my journey now.
Yeah. Wouldn't trade it somehow.
Amen. Wouldn't trade nothing for my journey now. And that's true. And it's a wonderful adventure. And I encourage you to join us on it. All you got to do is, you know, talk to Jesus mm-hmm. about it.
Amen.
So I just want to remind everybody we are on here every Sunday from 3 to 5 on WTAN and all sorts of stations, including AM, 1340,
1350,
FM,
and
13, yeah, well, we have a big sign behind us, 1400. We're also on FM 106.1, 104.3. And this again, I mentioned it before, this radio broadcast will be put online today. I'm sure Pete will do that. He'll put it online. You can check it out on the radio station's website. And then after the end of this month, you can check it out on our website, which is bohmglobal.com. Again, I would remind our listeners, if you have any prayer requests, please send them to prayers@bohmglobal.com. We want to pray with you. We believe God answers prayer, and we're looking forward to it. This is Associate Pastor Jim Ellsbury from Beacon of Hope Ministries, just reminding you that our God is a good God, and our God is never far away. In fact, it's not far.
To his side, there's no need for you to fear.